Welcome back, Startup House. Today we discuss something that I've wanted to discuss for some time and something that we at Draper Startup House really value, and that is community. And today, to explain the concept, I've got my friend Alex Lowe, someone who's been building businesses and helping people in both body and the mind. He's represented Singapore in water polo at the Asian Games, Commonwealth Games, and SEA Games. He was also previously the general manager at Core Collective in Singapore and the managing director of Clapsons Group, Hotels and Residences. Alex currently leads Kampong Collective, a tribe of community builders across Asia with hundreds of members, so he's the perfect expert for us to dive into this topic. You're listening to Draper Startup House Podcast, the one-stop shop for exploration, connecting, and inspiration. We show you different pathways in life so you can decide what's right for you. We interview entrepreneurs and professionals all across the world. My name is AJ, a serial explorer and your tour guide.
Morning, AJ.
Morning. So you just told me that you're in Bangkok at the moment. I'd love to hear more about how you're finding the space and, you know, is there anything interesting about the country that you'd like to share with the audience?
Okay, it's been 5 days already that I've been here. I'm actually here to spend New Year's Eve with a close family friend. And I come to Bangkok quite regularly because I used to work here. I was based here for 4 years running a service apartment. Before running this service apartment, I was a project manager and responsible for launching the same brand service apartment. And so every time I come back, I stay in the same place. And it's located by the Chao Phraya River, really nice five-star district. And I'm here more for holiday, but because I'm in the fitness, wellness, recovery space, I'm also here to meet a couple of friends who are in that space and trying to understand how... if I were to start a franchise of my brand in Singapore, if Thailand is a space that I could possibly be moving into in, you know, the year 2021 or 2022. Yeah, so it's exciting, the space. In the community building space also here is very vibrant. There are a lot of startups, there are a lot of innovation tech companies. And there is a lot of potential for what we are doing in Singapore with Kampong Collective and how we might be able to bring that to Thailand and, of course, Bangkok being the first city that we could bring it to.
Is there any particular reason why you picked Bangkok or Thailand as the next sort of country to move into? Or is it just because you had an existing base there you wanted to go?
It's more of because of the existing base that I have. I mean, the year 2020, which is, you know, just around the corner, we will be spending time expanding to another country before we consider Southeast Asia, which Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia being the next city. So that's why it's going to be in 2021.
Yeah, that makes sense. And since you're sort of talking about it, I'd love to dive into, before we get into the community stuff, what exactly are you working on in the healthcare space? So the NovaThought stuff and the photobiomodulation. Do you want to talk a little bit about what that is and why you're passionate about it?
Sure. I'll start with the business that I'm running. So it's we run the flagship and distributorship for the NovaThought light pod, and this is in Asia. This pod is an award-winning 360 light pod, and it helps with pain relief, accelerated healing, boosting energy levels for performance. It also promotes better sleep, better recovery, and general well-being. Right. The term that you used just now is correct. It's called photobiomodulation, so it uses red light and near-infrared light. And it is not new to aesthetics and beauty. It's already been around in use in the US and Europe. But in Asia, this is still a fairly new, I would say, a new space or new technology where light therapy is used to help people with pain relief as well as accelerated healing. And we are creating a brand which we will launch in 2020, which would be using the Novotel Light Pot as our, I would say, one of the main equipment that will be helping customers or clients with their pain relief. And the vision of the company or the brand really is to optimize the human potential. So there will be programs, there will be education, there will also be services that will help different individuals. You could be an athlete wanting to hit peak performance, or you could be a non-athlete just, you know, looking for general well-being. We want to be able to help to maximize and optimize the potential of anybody wanting to achieve their full potential.
And why is it that you decided to go into that space specifically?
I've been in fitness and since the beginning of my career. So I used to play competitive water polo. I represented Singapore from 1998 to 2002. So I was in SEA Games, Asian Games, Commonwealth Games, and performing at a high as a high performance elite athlete, there were always injuries. Recovery was always an issue. And having been injured myself, I actually have L4-5 and L5-S1 prolapse disc. So this happened in the year 2000. I went through a lot of physiotherapy, chiropractic treatment, TCM. So understanding the different modalities that can actually help with pain relief, that was, of course, the early part of my career, my early part of my journey. But I was also a sports science trained. So I was a physical education teacher for 8 years before I moved on to come to Bangkok to do project management and to go into hospitality. Coming back to Singapore in the year 2017, I was also involved in mass market events for sports. And only recently, I was involved in the launch of Core Collective, which is a fitness wellness co-working space in Singapore. And this was launched in the year 2018. And I was general manager of that space for 1.5 years. So being in that fitness wellness space got me once again really interested in how the human body actually requires so much more tender, loving care, right? It's not just about fitness. It's not just about exercise and being healthy. There actually needs to be that mindfulness, that wellness and well-being that can help the human body optimize and maximize. I think that being in my late 30s and I just turned 40, the age definitely had a part to play in how or why I felt that this is an important thing to focus on. And it's only from being managing the space at Core Collective that I discovered the Novotel Light Pot, because my business partner, Dr. Yu, he actually was in possession of the Light Pot before I joined him as a business partner. So he had the pot for almost 8 months before I met him at an event, and in fact, he was actually my client, right? And he was a client of the space at Core Collective before we started speaking. And in the end, you know, fast forward 1 year after I met him, I ended up being a client of the space at Core Collective. So I moved on from being an employee of the space to running my own business in the space. And it was only because I was injured myself. I tore my ankle ligament and I was in crutches. And at that point, Dr. Yu, my business partner, was saying, "Hey, Alex, you know, I think you better come and use the pot, right? And let's see if it's going to get you better." So I hopped on the pot. You know, I was on it every day for 2 weeks, and the pain and swelling was so significantly reduced that, you know, after 2 weeks, I was actually off crutches, and I the pain, of course, it didn't disappear, but throughout that entire process, I would say I was back up and running in four months, right? With no pain. So that was also when I went to do a lot more research. I went to understand light therapy. I was consulting with Dr. Yu a lot more about photobiomodulation. You know, how is this going to be helping with inflammation, with pain? And here we are now, going to be launching our own brand in 2020 and taking the business not just in Singapore, but outside of Singapore.
Amazing. I'm looking forward to it. I'll come try it out next time I'm in Singapore as well.
Yes, please. You know, anytime you're back, you know, let me know. And you must come and try it. And I'll definitely share more with you on the science. So there's a lot of science. There's a lot of education to inform the client and customer. They need to understand what is happening to them on a cellular level. And why is it that some people are feeling this? Why is it that some people are feeling that? You know, what is the best prescription for the injury, whether it's an acute injury or is this a chronic pain or chronic injury? And, you know, even on a general well-being level, it is definitely very helpful. I mean, I'm on it 2 to 3 times a week, and my immunity definitely has improved. When everyone in the family falls sick, I'm the one that's, you know, always left standing and definitely feeling a lot more healthy, I would say.
That's amazing. So I'll put some links down below in the podcast description about Novathor and photo biomodulation so people can check it out. And
wonderful. Yes, yeah. Sure.
But what I'd like to sort of move into now is talking about, you know, you do have this other aspect of your life where you like to focus on connecting people and building communities. Why is it that you sort of gravitated towards this aspect of the human experience?
Yeah, I really liked that you're asking this. And actually, the 2019 was quite a year of self-discovery for me. I say this because I have a 15-month-old little girl at the moment. And this was actually one of the main reasons for me coming up to start my own business, with wanting to have more time to spend with her and wanting to have more flexibility in working hours. And with the self-discovery, a little too late, maybe after spending 15 years working, but I realized that I really gravitate towards people connecting. And in all the careers that I've had since I left university, it has always been in wanting to connect with more people and wanting to be building and engaging communities. I think discovering my why through Simon Sinek, that was a it was an excellent book that I picked up in 2019, and did this was definitely one of the shift in what I wanted to do as I moved into my 40s. Yeah, I mean, from education to retail to F&B, events management, project management, hospitality and co-working, I've always enjoyed interacting with people and bringing together people with a common purpose and interest. And this essentially was the reason why I left to do my own thing. And with Kampong Collective, something that I started with my co-founder, Andy. And this, it's been about 8 months since we started. And we have a couple hundred people in our closed Facebook group now, and things are going well. We meet people. We've had a single meeting once a month, and each session that we have, we always start out with the agenda, and sometimes it's a social gathering. So the one that we had in December was a social gathering. It was a potluck. There were sessions where we had a guest speaker, an industry leader, coming to share on how he or she is building community, or what is important in building community. We also had a couple of panel discussions. Yeah, and I mean, the Kampung Collective in itself, Kampung actually means village in Malay, and this is understood in Southeast Asian countries like Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, and even Brunei. We wanted to create a safe space, like kampung, like a village, where there were no fences, no barriers to each other, where you could just pop your head into the neighbor's kitchen to borrow salt, sugar, or rice, where you could leave your children in the neighbor's house to be cared for without being worried about them. You could, it's that sense of closeness and accessibility and dependability that we felt that the kampung had, that we wanted to have as one of the values of this collective, which is why we called it a kampung collective. And how we described it is that essentially it's a community for community builders, because in different industries and different verticals, whether you're a community builder in a non-profit, whether you're a community builder in a for-profit company, or whether you're a community builder in as a volunteer or NGO, most of the time, the community builder is doing his or her role in silo, and he doesn't have people to bounce ideas off, share challenges with. And having Kampung Collective is this safe space where these different individuals and different brands, businesses, companies, or organizations would come together once a month to talk about these things. And of course, because we have the closed group network, at any one point in time, these individuals could reach out to anybody else within the group as well. Of course, if they it would make it would be a lot easier if they had met face to face before, and they would be able to continue their relationship and continue the conversation. Yeah, so that's essentially why or how we started Kampung Collective.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you specifically focused on community builders and managers, but I also think this is something that people don't really understand, like what that means. So do you want to quickly talk about what a community builder or manager is and how you identify them and how they come into your community?
Sure. Yeah. I think that a lot of businesses and brands who have been around for a long while already, they have always been an element of community building, and brands and businesses, they know that building community is how they could get customers to be loyal. It would be part of the company's values and vision. And the reason I think and I feel that the role of the community builder is becoming a lot more common or popular right now is because of the entire co-sharing economy and co-sharing industry that really came out of the US, a couple of years back. And every co-working, co-sharing space will have one, maybe two community executives or community builders. And with WeWork coming to Asia as well, the community builder role is now becoming popular. But I think with this being a new industry and with this being a new role, there are also different issues, or I would say challenges, that come into play, because the role is not well understood, and therefore job descriptions are not clear, boundaries are not set well. And with that also, we know that there are a lot of community builders who with high turnover, and not just high turnover, but also a high burnout rate. And that's not something that we want for the community builder. And by creating a space like Kampung Collective, we want to be able to increase the lifespan of a community builder, and also to understand the longevity of this specific role, or this specific the responsibilities that this specific person needs to be undertaking.
So would you say the biggest issues that community builders face is the whole fact that it's a very ill-defined role, and it's not very clear on their KPIs and things like that? Or is there bigger issues that community builders face from a day-to-day?
You're right to mention the KPI portion. It's more so because of the ill-defined job description and job scope. At the same time, it's also with the return or the measure of community. So this is something that new businesses, or maybe even old businesses, might not understand. I think when businesses focus on, let's take marketing as an example. Marketing is always a cost center, right? You spend money to market. But what is the return on the marketing that you get? The return need not necessarily be happening in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Sometimes you're looking at 6 months, right? For what the community builder is doing, the return you're looking at, it could possibly be 12 months. It could possibly be in 24 months because of the trust that the community builder is building within his community. It takes time for, I would say, the measures or measurements to actually be accounted for. And this could, depending on the business that the community builder is in, it could take anything from 12 months to 24 months for it to bear fruit and for anyone to be able to see that it is a success. And I think because this role is still so new, there hasn't been sufficient time for businesses or people to actually see that and understand that. And with that also, the measurement is an issue, right? And with different industries and different brands, the measuring criteria is also has to be very different, right? Are you measuring community within an innovation space? You know, are you measuring community within an online gaming space? Are you measuring community with sale of retail products? I think that one brand that I like to bring up would be Lululemon. So Lululemon started out as a yoga activewear brand. The community has always been a key pillar in their business strategy. And they don't actually measure community. It actually comes as whatever that comes from community. They understand that whatever the team of the community is doing, or community builders are doing, they're looking at, you know, 5-year sort of plans as well as 10-year sort of plans. And there's no specific measure on, oh, you know, we've invested this amount of money and we have a headcount of X number of people. We need to be generating X amount of revenue or profit from whatever money that we've put in. So I think this is definitely a good brand and good company for us to be learning from, on how we could actually be building, engaging, and strengthening communities with the role of the community builder.
Yeah, that makes sense. So is there any particular examples you would use to measure community? Like, is there any quantitative way of doing that? Or do you think it's still very ill-defined and difficult to do at this stage?
I think it's still ill-defined and difficult to do at this stage. I mean, there are certain measuring metrics that I know some companies are doing. But I think that it has to be tailor-made and specific to what the specific, let me give you an example. So this this is a non-for-profit organization, and they were trying to measure how successful their community outreach workshops were doing for the elderly ladies within the district that were coming for their sessions. And the 6 months that they had their engagements were a lot on healthy living, right? So, you know, what do you need to, how many steps do you need to take, you know, to exercise, you know, what's the best way to be doing your fitness activities. And the way that they measured their success was actually based on the outfits that these elderly ladies were coming for future sessions. So they noticed that from day one, when the aunties or the ladies were coming in, they were wearing more casual outfits, but or they were maybe even a bit more dressy. But 6 months down the road, when they were or when they had attended a couple of these sessions already, these aunties and ladies were actually coming for the sessions dressed up in sports shoes. You know, they were coming in their active wear. So this was a measure of definitely a measure of success in terms of how they managed to engage community, and the community was actually engaged enough to be showing signs that, hey, you know, whatever you guys have been doing for us, we are internalizing it, and now we're, you know, obviously if you are wearing active wear and you're wearing sports shoes, you are engaging in more fitness activities, you know, more healthy living and healthy lifestyles. But of course, that's it. There could be a case where, you know, their dressings might have changed, but they, in terms of lifestyle, they might not still be, you know, engaging in the healthy activities. So this is one way to that I'm sharing, where the measure is the number of ladies that are in active wear, but at the same time, it might not be a true representation of whether or not these ladies are actually healthier and engaging in more healthy activities.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I can see why the example mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense as to why it's a bit difficult to measure quantitatively, like the impact that you're making, right?
Yeah. So I would say it has to be very specific to the industry, and it needs to be thought out quite carefully, not just from top down, where, you know, the CEO, the bosses, you know, saying you must do this. I think that this has to be a conversation between the community builders themselves, who understand the community, and then bringing back to, it needs to be a conversation with the bosses and the CEOs or top management who are deciding on what the measure of community actually is.
Yeah. So then how would you, I guess, segregate, say, marketing, community, sales? Like, how do you differentiate between those things? And then, you know, what are the skill sets do you think is unique to a community builder that may not exist in the other fields, such that someone could start learning to become a community builder or shift from marketing to community or something like that?
I think that the role of a community builder has always been present in any brand of business. It's just that this role possibly in the past was maybe 20%. So 20% of the social media marketing person or 20% of the marketing manager would be in community building. But with community growing as a I would say a value or as a pillar in new businesses and brands, or with all businesses and brands realizing that community is how they need to be building trust and loyalty and authenticity for the brand business. The there is a shift in the I would say maybe at least 50%, maybe even 70% of the role that the previous person who was handling community building had to manage, and therefore the extra head count. There is actually now reason to actually have an extra head count for this particular role of the community builder. I wouldn't say that the role of a community builder should come from a specific department. I would say, you know, actually anybody can be a community builder, but of course some would fit the role a lot better than others. Definitely meeting new people is something that the community builder needs to like to do. So someone even in a sales or business development role would find the community building role enjoyable, right? And certain skills that soft skills, I would say, empathy, definitely, adaptability. There needs to be some form of a charisma as well with the community builder, because with the community builder, some people say that the community builder is like a social butterfly, you know, and you know, gallivanting all the time, you know, because the role requires him or her to be interacting with a lot of new people as well as old people, remembering old people, and connecting the dots on what each person actually requires, and trying to make connections within the old connections as well as the new connections that they have. Being likable is something that is important. Relatable, of course. A team player is something that everybody will want in his or her team or department. And I think if you were to ask what would be the key difference that a community builder needs to have compared to other departments or other roles, it's really being able to relate to relatability to the industry or environment or that specific vertical. So being aligned with the product or the brand or business definitely will help. So essentially the community builder is functioning like he owns or he's a part of the brand or business, and being able to have that together with all the soft skills, this community builder will be able to, I would say, be successful in whatever he or she is doing. And most community builders that we know are generalists, although they may have specific skill sets in doing a particular task. But being a generalist definitely helps in the role of a community builder, because you would be required to be doing a lot of things outside of job scope, and being a generalist definitely helps in that aspect.
Yeah, I really like the way that you put it about how it's about building, I guess, more real relationships with the people, right? And I think Potentially. So I did my own research to figure out, you know, what exactly community management was and where it fits in the, you know, the whole spectrum of things. And, you know, potentially it's something around how sales is very more, like much more one-on-one relationship based and things like that. Whereas marketing feels a bit more transactional with the way that they interact with people. It's just sort of scalable tactics to reach more people. Whereas you have community that sort of sits in between, that's very relationship heavy, but also more scalable to getting more people through the door. And in particular, exactly, I found this definition that I thought you might find handy from HubSpot. Community management is the process of building an authentic community amongst business customers, employees, partners through various types of interactions. And I think the important step there, which you probably agree, is the authenticity of your community, right? How would you go about maintaining an authentic culture and the same sort of vibe that scales to more and more people?
Okay. I think I really love the quote that you gave from HubSpot. And yeah, I've come across this before as well. The people element really comes through the strongest with the role of a community builder, right? It's the people element with the relationship building, and with the relationship building comes the trust. And I've come across articles, research as well, where they use trust as the currency of community building, which is something interesting to take note of as well. So by building trust, you are able to actually build authenticity. And I mean, what does being authentic mean, right? Like being authentic means to be genuine and to be real. And for us to ensure that for the business or brand to ensure that this is clearly communicated and clearly understood, the people on the ground, which is the community builders, as well as all other employees in the company, actually, they need to understand the importance of the why, right? And where the vision and values are aligned. And if the vision and values are aligned and well communicated, and we walk the talk, we practice what we preach, and then we are considered as authentic and real and genuine. I think that this really is how authenticity can be built within the community. And the founders and key leaders within the company or within the community have to walk the talk and practice what they preach before everybody else down the line, from middle management to facilitators, trainers, or employees, will also be able to share that authenticity on the different channels, different platforms that they are presenting themselves to the public.
Do you think that every company needs a community, or, like, you know, what kind of businesses generally have you seen that thrive from using community management, and are there particular companies that you think just don't need it?
I mean, definitely I think every business or every company will need some form of community building. I mean, if it's a B2B business, you would also require building community with key business clients. It's just a matter of how prevalent it is and how much it's being used in each specific context. Consumer-facing products, FMCG products, definitely would require more community building than others. It's a bit difficult for me to answer this question, actually, because not all... I think, in a nutshell, to answer this, I will have to say that all businesses or brands would benefit from building community. It's a matter of how much time they would want to be investing to help build their brand, product or business.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess every business kind of has a community anyway, right? If you have Facebook followers, that's somewhat of a community. It just depends on how deep you want to go. I guess that's part of the thing.
Yes, yeah, right. Yeah, it would have to be a top down decision, and it would have to be added into a pillar of the business. It should not be looked upon as, oh, you know, everyone is building community, let's do that too,
mm-hmm.
right? Without really understanding why they need to build the community, or why they need to hire someone to build the community. This is where if we rewind back to where we first started, right? What are the main issues that community builders face? Is because maybe brands or businesses suddenly feel that, hey, you know, we need to build community because everyone is doing it. I think there is some value there. But without really understanding why they need to do it, therefore the job description and what they expect of a community builder is totally different. And with that comes all the issues that the community builders are currently facing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we've kind of come close circle on the whole, you know, I think the overarching theme is that community building is so new and so undefined that we're still figuring things out. And is that sort of what you're trying to tackle mm-hmm. with the Kampong Collective as well?
Yes, for sure. I mean, because it is ill-defined and still new in the space, we feel that there is the community builder still has that what is the word that we can use? Can still be empowered to decide on what their job description mm-hmm. should be, as opposed to it being a top-down where, you know, the hiring managers or the bosses say, this is what you do and this is what you need to do. And I think by growing the group of Kampong Collective, we want to be able to say that, hey, you know, as community builders, you can actually be empowered to decide what your job description is and what should your KPIs of measuring community and engagement should be. Yeah, so I think the role is actually young enough for something like that to happen. And we, as Kampong Collective, we are hoping to be able to form some to create some form of infrastructure for something like that to take place. One of the vision of Kampong Collective really is to have the role of the community builder be recognized enough such that even in business school, you know, they add a module on community building. And we would start off with the business schools in Singapore. There are three of them. And we might not necessarily be the ones to be providing the information for how the module needs to be shaped. But we want to be able to kickstart that process and work with people to help us make that happen.
That's amazing. Looking forward to it. So what's the, you know, I guess my last question is, what do you think the role of technology is in community building? And also, do you have any comments on online communities versus in-person communities?
I think that technology, for sure, you know, it breaks down all geographical barriers. And with technology, communities can exist, you know, with members all over the globe. So definitely the question you asked about, you know, is there a difference between online communities and offline communities? For sure, right? Also, engaging communities on a larger scale in the thousands, you would need to leverage technology. There are existing platforms And there are also new platforms that are popping up to try and address certain needs within each specific community. Even platforms like PTIX, platforms like Facebook. I mean, Facebook started out as a community, online community building platform from the beginning, right? But there are different platforms, for example, PTIX, which is, or Eventbrite, which is an event booking platform, where now they are also adding different features within their platform to have communities be able to engage within their respective specializations. So definitely technology would help to communities exist even more, and it would be, I guess the challenge would be how to communicate visions and values on a mass scale, and sharing information to larger communities. From what we've seen, hosting events, having discussion forums, and having these all help to help key leaders in communities make certain decisions. You know, if it's a online platforms, you know, you can do polls. You know, you can actually understand. You can do polls. You can do surveys. You can understand what the community would actually need, or what the community would actually be looking for. And with that, I think communities would continue to exist as long as their needs are being met by the people that started the communities in the first place.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, you know, thanks a lot for sharing about community management and the, I guess, the rising opportunity and the fact that entrepreneurs and business owners alike shouldn't really fall asleep at the, you know, at this new opportunity and the new things that are happening around community. And I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of stuff that you bring to the table in terms of formalizing and bringing infrastructure to the space. So what do you think would be a good resource for people to check out if they're interested in community or getting more involved with what you're doing?
Well, there are a couple of platforms out there that are from the US that are already speaking about community. CMX is one of them. Feverbee is also a good resource for getting information on community building. I think also in Singapore, which is where we met, right? The new campus, new campus is something that I would recommend for anyone looking for lifelong learning, right? The idea of new campus is a gym for the mind, right? It's a fantastic concept for lifelong learning and very relevant topics that anyone who signs up could choose to attend the sessions. And there is not specific to community building, but it is, I am very, it is a community in itself, the new campus, that I would encourage anyone interested in learning new things and learning more or lifelong learning to check it out.
Awesome. And if people wanted to connect with you or, you know, get more involved with what you're doing, how can they connect?
You can always find me on LinkedIn. I mean, physically, you know, I'm always on the move, you know, attending events, training people in community, and of course, growing my wellness franchise. But yeah, LinkedIn and Instagram is an excellent place to connect with me. I'm very active socially, so if you drop me a message, you know, I'm probably going to reply in a couple of hours.
Cool. Thanks so much for being on the show. Thanks for listening, Startup House. Remember, keep exploring, connecting, and inspiring. If you want to get more involved with us, follow us at draperstartuphouse.com. That is draperstartuphouse.com. Or follow me at ajprakash.net. AJAY, procash.net. See you next time.